Hello, and welcome to the 10th and Broad Church of Christ podcast. Today's episode is presented by Alan Carr, the youth minister at the 10th and Broad Church. Let's join Alan now for today's lesson.
Once again, it really has been a joy to be involved in these young people's lives. They are outstanding people. This traditionally has been a time where I get to, on your bulletin, actually it says, a charge to seniors. So there is going to be a little bit over the next few moments where I'm going to be talking specifically to these four people. So we thank you for indulging us as we do that a little bit. But I think that we will. What I have to say also will be a challenge to us all. And I pray hopefully that that it will connect with us and challenge us to go out and to do bigger and better things constantly. There's a commercial that has caught my eye over the last several months. And I don't know whether it's because of just some of the things I've been hearing. You know, a couple weeks ago we had Dr. Knapp here who did a men's retreat for us and spoke to us on Sunday morning and also taught our class, and he talked about generations. And I don't know whether that has just been on my mind a lot or these types of things kind of influence me this time of year, but there's a commercial, and also I watch a lot of sports, so this kind of runs constantly during sports programs, but it's a commercial by Gatorade, and I wanted you to see it this morning because I think it has something to say to us. So go ahead and play that commercial for us. Once again, that's been playing like every time I watch sports, and so it's been on my mind. And plus, it has a catchy tune, so hopefully I programmed your brain for the next day or so with that little catchy tune that I've been singing in my head all week. But there's something in there, in the way that products are advertised anyway is like this. I couldn't tell you much about the information about what they're trying to sell me. I know it's Gatorade. I know there's three of them. I know they have big numbers on them. But this is such an evolution, I don't know. But the thing that Gatorade wants you to know through these commercials is very, very simple. They don't care that you know much about the product. They want you to feel like in the sports drink industry, Gatorade is on the cutting edge. And that they feel like they've been that way since, what they said, 1965. They want you to know that Gatorade is not going to be left behind. They're going to continue to change and evolve and be there to grow and to revolutionize the industry. And if that's all you leave that commercial with, they've done their job. Because they want you to know that they are the one that's changing, and the idea of evolution, okay, not biggie evolution we like to talk about in the church that gets us a little bit crazy, but little e evolution. They are constantly evolving. Change is something that happens. We can't stop it. Change occurs naturally. It's a basic of life. And so the question is, how are you dealing with it? And Gatorade wants you to have a very clear picture of how they're dealing with it. Let me give you another example. Something changed in my life this year, something I've wanted to happen for quite a long time. I got myself a Mac. That's right. I don't know where I've been influenced. They had this great, for goodness, it ran over a year at least, and probably several years, this marketing campaign where the guy in the t-shirt and jeans that always looked cool and nothing bothered him, right? Yeah, that was Mac, and then PC was the stuffy middle-aged guy that was always in the suit, you know, that was always bumbling. I don't know whether that just got to me, but I bought a Mac. And I'm a Mac person. I shall forever be changed that I have owned a Mac. But this company has really got me thinking, because I do remember Macs back for a long time. And so I wanted to kind of show you a little bit about Apple and the way that they've kind of, in very similar way to Gatorade, is trying to get you to think something about them and something that they've been able to do in the last 35 years. Let me show you a couple pictures. 1986, Mac came out with this. That might be the second one. That might be the Macintosh 2. 1986, they came out with something called the Mac 512, which was just an amazing mid-80s. It was the height of computing in the mid-80s. They had it available in 16 megabyte of memory or 32. And for $2,500, you could own the 16 megabyte version, because who could ever fill up 32 megabytes of memory, right? So they get this. I believe that is the Macintosh 2, which they came out with in 1987, the next year. And you can kind of see it. Yeah, there we go. It kind of looks more like now. It's got the mouse. It's not quite an all-in-one unit. So a year later, they put out this version. 1989, they came out with something. Oh, doesn't this look like just something that could blow your socks off? It's not a typewriter. That's the Macintosh Portable. Came out in 1989. It's one of the very first laptop computers. It was not that long ago. It's not that many years ago that computers were housed in large warehouse rooms, right? That's what a computer was, and if people would laugh at you if you thought you could have a computer in your home. Well, 1989 was about the time that we moved from, okay, you could have a computer, but now it was mobile. It's portable. An amazing piece of technology that was. It's got the little roll bar. It looks almost like you're playing Centipede or some type of really weird game. In 1991, they came out with this, which is the Macintosh Classic 2. This is the computer I worked on in my computer class in high school, this computer. I still took typewriting on a typewriter, right, at Burke Burnett High School. But this is when we took computer classes, this was it. It came out in 1991. It was amazing. It had a Windows-based system. You could tell it didn't have a CPU unit. The monitor and everything was enclosed in one, and it was an amazing thing. I have fond memories of this computer. In 1997, let me jump you about 6 years forward. Now, this starts to look like a laptop, right? This is the Macintosh PowerBook, where we started to realize that computers could not only be portable, that they could be portable and useful. You could actually do things on them. It wasn't just like this large typewriter you brought around. It had color. It was beautiful. 1997, this was about when I was in the middle of my college years, and I remember seeing laptops for the first time that were really functional and useful, and people had them, and it was just amazing. We could kind of do this over and over again. The next one is 1998, which is the iMac. You could have personality. So not that it matters, but you could get your computer in orange and blue and green. You could have personality added to it. Let me jump ahead 10 years. This is the MacBook Air. Has anyone ever seen one of these things? This is a computer that will fit in a FedEx envelope. It's the first computer in the world with no moving parts. If you have a jump drive USB, a thumb drive, it will stick inside your computer. It works on that technology. Absolutely no moving parts. For $2,500, it came out in 2008. You could buy the height of computing power as the MacBook Air. About the same price you could purchase the Mac 512 for in 1986. And now, this year, they just came out with this, which is the iPad, which makes me drool. I do. Man, this just looks fantastic. It's a tablet. There's no keyboard. It's portable, it's thin, and it does anything you want it to do, almost. Apple, all in all, has put together, since 1986 all the way to 2010, those 35 years, 206 different generations or versions of computers. 206. That doesn't count iPods or iPhones or servers that they put out for companies. 206 different generations of computers. That's over 5.5 every single year. So every 2.5 months, Apple puts out a newer, better, flashier version of their computer. Sometimes it's a very, very small leap, like you can get it in orange. Other times it's these huge leaps in technology, and it changes the way we view computers. Now, they're not the only ones, but they're ones that very clearly has this idea that we're going to continue to push, we're going to continue to change, we're going to continue to move forward and grow. How do they do this? Can you imagine if Apple somewhere along the way built one of these computers and said, that's it, man. That is, I mean, 1986, that Mac 512, how are we ever going to get better than that? We have 16 megabytes of memory. No one's ever going to fill that up. What if they stopped somewhere along the way and said, this is it, this is all we're going to do, this is the best the computing will ever be? It'd be sad. Pretty soon they'd be irrelevant. So how have they continued to grow and to change? It's for two things they were committed to. One, they have the exact same vision. The same people, the same company who built that 512 Mac computer in 1986, built the iPad in 2010, 35 years later. Same company, same people were able to do it, one, because they had a very singular focus. We're going to build good, quality, easy-to-use computers. It's Mac's vision. It's what Apple tries to do. They did it in 1986. They're doing it in 2010. But they also are committed to a second thing, which was a culture of change. A culture that says we will not be left behind. We will continue to grow. We will continue to be on the front edge, evolving and changing. And with those two things combined, that's why every 2.5 months they're able to put out great computers. Why does this matter? Let me take you to Luke 5. This is where I want to draw a charge to you from, and specifically to you seniors, but also to us all. Luke 5, towards the beginning of Jesus' ministry, it says in verse 33, "One day some people said to Jesus, 'John the Baptist's disciples fast and pray regularly, and so do the disciples of the Pharisees. Why are your disciples always eating and drinking?' And Jesus responded, 'Do wedding guests fast while celebrating with the groom? Of course not. But someday the groom will be taken away from them, and then they will fast.' Then Jesus gave them this illustration. No one tears a piece of cloth from a new garment and uses it to patch an old garment. For then the new garment will be ruined, and the new patch wouldn't even match the old garment. And no one puts new wine into old wineskins. For the new wine would burst the wineskins, spilling the wine and ruining the skins. New wine must be stored in new wineskins. But no one drinks the old wine, seems to want the new wine. The old was just fine, they say." People were confused because they looked and they saw people like the Pharisees, or they saw the followers of John. They say, this is how they're doing this. This is, they're fasting and they're doing some things. And they looked at Jesus' followers and said, "You don't look like that. Why not? Why do you have to change? What's going on?" And Jesus responds almost by talking about the nature of things. He says, "That's not the world I created. The world changes. The world evolves." He uses those two illustrations. It's almost like he's saying, look, if you don't fix your old jeans by taking part of your new jeans and putting on the old jeans, all you end up with is two gross set of jeans that aren't useful. And if you're constantly making wine and you make a new vintage, you don't put it in the old vessels, because what you end up with is good wine on the floor that's ruined and really bad vessels. And everything ends up ruined. What he was saying is, look, the wine is always good. We just constantly need new vessels. We constantly need new things to put this wine in. So what does that matter? Look, guys, change occurs. And seniors, I know your parents kind of come to this day with mixed emotions, because as much as they want you to grow and to change, the inevitability of this day comes whether you like it or not. Things change, things evolve, and you can't stop it. The question is, how do you deal with it? And hearing Jesus' words kind of makes us think some very clear things. Because God keeps making new wine by putting His Spirit into the next generation. Making new, good wine that comes in the form of the next generation. And that's kind of what He's done with you. Your new wine. And it's good. And so the question is clear. First to the congregation, I have a charge for you. Are we going to be people that are committed to the wine or the wineskins? Because I'll be honest, I think most of what gets us riled up in church, most of the stuff that kind of gets us thinking or gets us feeling a little uneasy or that we even fight about, are wineskins. The way we do church, and we get hung on to some things. And there are churches out there that would take that just almost like Apple could have done and said, this is it. This is the way we do church, henceforth shall it be forevermore. And how sad that could be. If that is the way it happens, if you're more committed to the wineskins than to the wine. So my charge to you, congregation, is always be committed to the wine. This story never changes. A story of a God who loved His people enough that He gave them His Son that died and was resurrected, and charges His followers to do the same thing that Jesus did while He was here. To go tell that story, to go take care of people, to go do those things. That never changes. The wine is always good and always the same. Yet we can't be so committed to the wineskins, we end up ruining the wine. And some churches can do that. To you seniors, my charge is this. Go build new wineskins. Your job is to take what God has put inside you, His Spirit, and show us what that looks like in Wichita Falls in 2010. And soon in Searcy, Arkansas, in Oklahoma City, in Dallas, in Lubbock in 2010. What does that look like? Because God working in you is good. Never doubt the wine. Never doubt the Spirit that He has put inside you, but you go make wineskins. You push the rest of us to challenge and to change and to grow and evolve so that we don't get stuck. Apple has built into their company a culture of change. God's built into His kingdom of culture of change. That's you. Dr. Knapp talked to us about generations and how we push and we pull each other in some directions. And sometimes that's tension. Sometimes we don't understand each other, but we need you. We need you to push us and to help us grow and help us stay on the cutting edge of what Jesus looks like in 2010. And on and on. We need you. Go make new wineskins. I know that's a big job. I know it's something that can be intimidating. And maybe sometimes you don't feel up to that. But I wanted to say a prayer over you, a blessing over you. This is something where I began last year. I really want to become something we do every year, mainly because it's become very special to me. But this is an old prayer. This is really almost an ancient prayer is what you could call it. And it was written by St. Patrick, the guy of St. Patrick's Day. So I want to pray this over you. It's called the Shield of St. Patrick. And so this is what I want as on behalf of this congregation to say over you seniors. So I'm going to ask to embarrass you and ask you to stand up. And we're going to say a prayer blessing over you. So seniors, stand up for us. And let me pray this blessing over you. So if you will bow your heads and pray with me, we will do this to end our time. Arise today through the mighty strength of God, through belief in the Trinity, through oneness of the Creator of creation, God's might to uphold you, God's wisdom to guide you, God's eye to look before you, God's ear to hear you, God's word to speak for you, God's hand to guard you. May Christ shield you today against poisoning, against burning, against drowning, against wounding. Christ with you, Christ before you, Christ behind you, Christ in you, Christ beneath you, Christ above you, Christ on your left, Christ on your right, Christ in the eye of everyone who sees you, Christ in the ear of everyone who hears you, Christ in the heart of everyone who thinks of you. Arise today in the name of Christ, and you will not be stopped. Father God, we commit these people to you. And Father, just like their parents, the rest of us feel some of those same feelings of mixed emotions. Father, we love these people and we commit them to you as you take them out to places like Lubbock and Dallas and Oklahoma City and Searcy. God, we pray that you be with them. We know that you are in them. And Father, we know and we pray that you help them to create new wineskins that reach people that we need to reach. And God, that they show Jesus to everyone around them, and that everyone who sees them will see Christ. God, we pray these things boldly through your Spirit and through the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. God bless you guys.